Tracy Kutchker, and this is Artscape. In this show, we cover up-and-coming events in the art sector of Salmon Arm. Today, my guests are Joanne Mason, former manager of the Downtown Improvement Association, and Vicki Maurer, local photographer, and Louise Wallace Richmond, director on the board of the Shuswap District Arts Council. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. Today, we're going to talk about Downtown in Focus. This is an exhibition that is happening at Salmon Arm Art Gallery in November that is a collection of historic and contemporary photographs that focus on the core of Salmon Arm. First of all, Joanne, let's talk about what started the concept for this exhibition.
Well, the concept for this exhibition actually started about 5 years ago, and it was even before my time working with Downtown Salmon Arm. I had the good fortune to do a walking tour with longtime developer Roger Ailes in the downtown core when I returned back to the community. And it was just really interesting for he and I to walk through the community, because obviously at that point I had completely different lenses on the community compared to what he was looking at. We spent about 3 hours just touring the downtown, and it was quite apparent to me that his perspective on what he saw every day in the downtown was completely different than what I was seeing in the downtown. I think you can attribute that to that we're busy in our lives and we take things for granted. We don't notice some things that might be an eyesore or some things that are really beautiful just because we see them every day. But as a newcomer or someone that's returned to the community, they really jumped out at me. So it started me pondering what could the differences have been in a longer space of time. And so that just, it was always in the back of my mind that this could be something really cool to take a look at from a historical perspective to a current day perspective. And it wasn't until a few years later that I had the opportunity to sort of bring this to life, I guess, and to start talking about it. So that's sort of where the thought began, was about 5 years ago.
So Louise, maybe you can tell us about how this morphed into an exhibition at the art gallery.
Well, I guess as part of the project, it needs to be housed in a place that's fitting for what the story is. And so the DIA would have approached the art gallery to have this as an exhibit. And any of you who've been to the art gallery know it's a wonderful space and it's a great storytelling place, and it just seemed like the perfect fit. So certainly from the board's point of view, this is part of our mandate to reflect ourselves to one another. And having seen some of the work so far, I have to tell you it's really quite enlightening to see those photos.
And so now I'm going to ask Vicki. Vicki, the photographer who was given the task of going out into the downtown, finding the exact places where the historic photographs were taken from and taking new photographs of the scene. So Vicki, tell us about that process. When did that start?
We started taking photos 2 or 3 years ago, but some of them we had to wait because you'd have to get the right time of year, you'd have to try and find that exact location, and with everything overgrown, it was quite hard to see exactly where you're supposed to be standing, at what angle the picture was taken. And so it's been probably 3 years we've been trying to get all these photos taken.
And it must have been quite a challenge. You must have had to use certain landmarks that were really not in the photograph, like the distant mountains or something, just to make sure you were in the right spot.
Yeah, for the most part, we could use some mountains, but in the historical photos, a lot of the times you couldn't see the mountains. And with especially the ones closer into the downtown area, the buildings are in the way, so you can't see the mountain anymore.
And then you've had some situations where you've had people and cars in the photos, where, of course, back in the day, there may not have been a car or a van.
Yeah, we decided to leave those in just to show the advancement in the development or whatever that we've done, and to show the new vehicles and to show that they're now very populated areas where people drive and commute.
Would you say that viewers might find it a negative experience to see all of this development that's happened over the years?
Well, no. Wouldn't you say it can be a challenging show to see because everyone will see it differently?
Right.
And so what we might think is stunning and beautiful, someone else will say is well, it's just dusty roads and, you know, looks like, you know, an impoverished community when other people will see other things. Because you do look back at some of those photos and think, wow, that was tough times. Like cleanup day in front of the hotel, the Montebello. I mean, there are men with ratty, you know, that ratty hair and homemade tools and dusty streets. And, you know, we just take that. We drive to town, we park our cars, the streets are clean. You know, all these things we take for granted. The streets are lit, for heaven's sakes, you know.
Yeah.
And so when you live in the moment, you don't see, you don't have that perspective of what it used to be like. And then you don't have the perspective of what it could be. So for me, that this show is really an opportunity for everyone in town to go, oh, okay, let's think about this. Let's have the conversation.
What struck me as some of the photos, there's not a tree in sight in the downtown core. And now it seems very treed. It appears that we've taken down trees and we've reduced nature to a minimum in order to do this development. Well, really, the trees weren't there in the first place.
Well, the trees actually were there before settlement happened here. The trees were taken down for farming, right? So it really is quite a deceptive when you are looking at the historical photos compared to today. And I know that Vicki was really faced with some challenges because you can't even see some of the grade on the land because now the trees are there. And I think Louise is absolutely right. You know, sometimes when you're looking back, you can be very nostalgic and looking at the images and saying, wow, that was so beautiful and so natural. Yeah, yes and no. There were changes that happened back in the 1900s, early 1900s that really changed the landscape of the land. And we've in some ways gone back to that in a more respectful way than was here in the 1900s. So it really is that question: how are people going to view this exhibit, and what are they going to take away from it? What are they going to see as beautiful? What are they going to see as not so beautiful?
Let's talk about some of the photographers that took the historic photographs. I see work from Rex Langford and Albert Bedford, right?
Yes, yeah.
So these guys must have been forward-thinking photographers to be documenting our town like this.
I would think so. I think that we are very fortunate in that we do have such a vast archive of images that are available to us through the museum. And yeah, they really did capture their moment in time. And I guess going forward, we hope that this exhibit captures our moment in time and causes people that opportunity just to pause and to take a look around. Come with new lenses on, come with lenses that you have on to the exhibit, and then go out and actually be mindful of what you're seeing in our community. What is striking you as beautiful and what is striking you as not so beautiful, and what do you think the community should look like in another 100 years? When you look at it in those broad terms, 100 years can pass very quickly. Change and development happens very quickly, but really it's just a snippet of time.
And suddenly it occurs to me that in 50 years, there'll be people talking on the radio about the Vicki Maurer photo collection. You know, it's true. I mean, those, you know, Rex Langford was a photographer. He had a studio in Salmon Arm. It was very unusual for a town to have its own photo studio. And so the community, well, Haney, maintains this collection. I think there's 900 glass plates, that many of which have been properly scanned at Huco Printing and part of the collection. And so we look back on those photos as nostalgic, but our lives will be looked back on as nostalgic. So, you know, what are we going to put out there? So I think it's great that we have Vicki, and she's been working with the Downtown Association for years, taking photography. She's a perfect fit for this job. She knows these buildings better than we do, and we work downtown every day. So it was it's really a great thing. So one day she'll be the Rex Langford of the 20s. Whatever this, what do we call them? The 2000s.
Yeah. I was reminded when I first looked at some of Vicki's photographs, the contemporary photographs of Jeff Wall. And Jeff Wall, the Vancouver artist, that was a modern take on Vancouver at the time he was taking those photos. And now we look at them, they're part of the permanent collection there and they get pulled out every now and again. Now we look at them and they're so nostalgically 60s and 70s, and you can identify the colors and the way that the houses look, the way that people's front lawns looked, and of course the occasional vehicle. And I was reminded of that. So it's true. These photographs are our documentation of this moment in time. And in not that far into the future, they're going to be looked at as a very specific kind of feel. Louise, I want to ask you about the design element, because design is your passion. you're probably imagining that people will have ideas about how our community is going to look in the future. You have ideas about how our community can look in the future.
Sure, of course I do. And we do all have ideas. You know, the thing about design is everybody is a designer. They just, and everyone makes design decisions every day. What shoes you wear, what car you drive, what color your house is, you know, how you put food on a plate. This is all design. And design isn't just pretty, it's practical. You do things because there's a practical need to meet. You know, we're all designers. So when I see shows like this, I think it really forces us to think about how we put the elements of our life together in an orderly manner that, you know, basically design is making order out of chaos. So some of those old photos are a bit chaotic and some of the new photos are very orderly. And some of the new photos are a little chaotic and some of the old photos are very orderly. Like if you think about the off to war picture, they're perfectly dressed and all lined up, you know. I mean, you wouldn't see that anymore, thank goodness, you know. So,
yeah,
because they were off to war and some of those men never came back and their names are on the cenotaph and in the plaque at Canoe Hall. I mean, there's a lot of design is everywhere. It's how we live our lives and how we put things in order. So I love shows like these.
This exhibition is not only going to be held in the gallery, it's actually a walking tour as well of the art and architecture of the Salmon Arms downtown core. Joanne, can you tell us about that?
Well, we just really thought that it was a wonderful opportunity to actually get people outside of the gallery and taking a look at where some of the images were taken, both the historical and the contemporary, and having them take a walk where we've walked, and also to come out into the community and just be aware of some of the interesting architecture that's in our community. Some of it is older and some of it's newer. So we wanted to encourage people just to get out and to walk with purpose of looking at our downtown and being really mindful of what's there in terms of our community art, for example. For a community that is so highly of itself as being an arts-based community, we really do lack in community art in our downtown and in our community as a whole. I think it's just one of those opportunities to have a purpose for walking through our downtown without the hustle and bustle of needing to run to the bank or go to an appointment or shop at a store, but rather just to walk and to look and to explore what is there and what you would like to see in the future.
We'll talk more about the actual exhibition and elements of the exhibition in a moment. For now, I'll just remind everybody that they're listening to Artscape on Voice of the Shoe Swap 93.7 FM. And in Tappan, you're listening on 93.7 FM. And in North Broadview, you're listening to it on 93.7 FM. I'm talking to Joanne Mason, former manager of the Downtown Improvement Association, Vicki Maurer, local photographer, and Louise Wallace Richmond, director on the board of the Shoe Swap District Arts Council, about the upcoming exhibition Downtown in Focus. Joanne, you were just talking to us about the walking tour that's part of this exhibition. How are people going to know where to go on their walking tour?
Well, we have the brilliance of Louise Wallace and MediaAbility to thank for that. We had a lot of complex information that we wanted to share with the community, and through various forms of information being sent to Louise, I just entrusted that she'd be able to pull information together in one source that people would be able to take away from the gallery, and Louise has not disappointed on that. She's developed a beautiful exhibition guide and map so that we're able to give that to the folks when they come into the gallery, and it details the location of the actual photos that have been taken, as well as where our downtown community art is and some of the interesting architecture that is in the downtown. So that's a walkaway piece that people will be able to take with them. And hopefully it'll help bring into context where some of these pictures have been taken when you're actually in the gallery. So that's our hope, at any rate.
It extends the life of the exhibition as well.
I would think so, absolutely. And I do. I am hopeful that people that come and experience the exhibit in the gallery, that they'll take the time to actually do the walk in the downtown. And some of it isn't even walking in the downtown. If you have a boat, a kayak, a canoe, and you'll see some of the imagery from the lakefront, it's really amazing to stop and to think about how much has changed. And when Louise was talking earlier about Rex Langford's studio, it used to be right at the harborfront level. And, you know, it's quite interesting to see how that whole frontage of our community has really changed and evolved over the years. So I do hope everyone does take the opportunity to do the walk.
I saw a very lovely slide that Dave Harper had taken from the museum and was able to reproduce digitally and blow up for the first time in these many years, because those glass plates have an enormous amount of detail in them that they weren't really able to see up until recently with the technology. And when he blew it up, there was all these little buildings along the lakefront that looked just like little boxes in the print. But when he was able to blow them up, he could read. And there were two Chinese laundries along the harborfront. That was so interesting. I had no idea. But they were very specifically had names, and their name was there. And then Chinese laundry.
One of the pieces that's included in the exhibit is an actual insurance map from 1936. And while it's not a photograph, it certainly breaks down what's in the individualized buildings. And for some people that have been here for many years, they'll recognize different names like Dearborn Motors and other things. But then you look at other buildings and you think, wow, that was the undertaker, or here is another Chinese laundry. And just how far in terms of evolution our society has come, and our understanding of what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate, that it would be documented in such a fashion. It's a little bit eye-opening as well.
The art gallery had an exhibition called Icon in 2012, helping to celebrate the 75th year of the art gallery building, originally built as a post office. When in some of those original photographs, you could see in the background a little mechanics garage, several houses, and one other little store. So in my view, downtown looked a bit more like a residential area than a downtown. So there must have been quite a mix at that early part of the 1900s.
I do think that there was a significant mix back in the early 1900s. What I found myself interesting in looking or comparing the historical and the contemporary images is how much the landscape has actually changed and evolved as well. The grades are different. And when early on, when Vicki and I were out trying to assess where certain images were taken, you really struggled, because in some of the pictures there might be just a farmhouse and a child in a baby buggy sitting in the middle of nothing, and you knew that it was near Hudson, but you couldn't quite figure it out because the grade was completely different. And
so what happened there? Did somebody come along with a few bulldozers and just flatten out the downtown?
Well, I understand that there was some work that did happen. Some of it was I think planned, and other work, as one local historian told me, the work just happened because it needed to happen without a lot of forward thought as to what would happen when the grade of the land changed. So that's also part of this question, right, is, you know, what do we want to have happen going forward? What is it going to look like in 10, 20, 30, 50 years? And are we prepared to make those changes, or to invest in those things that we want to see evolve in our community over the next number of years?
And you brought up Dave Harper, who is, you know, the local historian. He knows, and of course Deb Chapman at the archives. You know, the history of Salmon Arm is floods and fires. So, and the town has really evolved based on, you know, there was a saying in the early 1900s, if it wasn't underwater, it was on fire. So that determined a lot of how things are done. And when the railway came through, and you look at those old pictures of the wharf, I mean, the wharf was a highly functional, this is how we deliver goods. And now it's much more recreation-based. So everything, you know, our goals change as we age, our objectives change. I'm sure that our predecessors would look at the wharf now and think, what have you done to that? You know, that was a depot. You know, that was our bus depot. Like if in 50 years from now, if you look at the bus depot and it suddenly becomes a major tourist attraction, people would go, well, how did that work? So I just think it's interesting from a perspective point of view. We think it should have been a certain way But we don't know. We weren't there. And I'm sure they would be equally surprised. You know, the credit union parking lot used to be an orchard.
And isn't that nice that there's public art there to honor that?
Yes. And it's true. You know, like, and we talk a lot at the gallery about experimenting and trying new things. And those apple sculptures were an experiment and a very successful one. The Sal Maria was also an experiment and a very successful one. So along the way, people have taken great risk to try new things, and the good things have lasted, and the mistakes we've learned from, and we, you know, we're moving on. But it's just I mean, from the point of view of the photographer, I'm sure Vicky's seeing things that we need to see.
Vicky, maybe you can tell us, what was your favorite photograph after all was said and done and you've looked at this entire collection? Which one is your favorite?
Well, that's a tricky one. I think actually one of my favorite photos is of the train station, the one with the chain link fence. That's probably my favorite.
And why is it your favorite if it's mostly of chain link fence?
I'm not even really sure why it is my favorite. I just like the way that it looks. I mean, I like how it's sad that you have to look through the chain link to see the train station. I mean, that part drives me a little crazy. But I like just how the chain link worked in the photo and how in the distance you can see the train station still.
And it is, on top of the interesting composition, it is a statement about how we protect the community, right?
Yes.
Question becomes, though, what are we protecting the community from? Someone posed the question or suggested that perhaps we were protecting our community from the train. And I think we have to think a little higher about that than to suggest that chain link is going to protect us from a train. If a train derails, that chain link isn't going to help us. And when you're looking at some of the historical photos, you see families on the wooden platform, and there are children there, small children. You see animals, dogs, and families, and you know there's excitement and anticipation in their faces. Common sense protected those people from the train. They didn't have to have a chain link fence as a barricade, and it's quite a visual barricade in our community. And I don't know that it speaks to, well, for me personally, it doesn't speak to the kind of community that I want to live in. We recognize that we have the Trans-Canada Highway as part of our corridor, which creates a boundary and a barrier. We recognize we have a national railway that runs through our community that creates another barrier or border in our downtown. Not much we can do about that, but I certainly think that there is an opportunity to do something with that running through our community. And I just think that there's an opportunity for a conversation to be had there, because that chain link fence isn't protecting our community from anything. Again, I'll leave that to those that are out in the gallery and looking at the images.
On November 21st, Thursday, November 21st, is the coffee break and artist talk traditionally held at the gallery. Is this going to be an opportunity for people to come out and discuss their ideas and their plans and their reaction to this exhibition?
I think that would be a wonderful opportunity for the community to come out and to start that conversation and to be a part of the conversation. As we know, these conversations are going on all of the time, whether they be at a board level, at a city hall level, at a community group level. The conversations are happening all of the time. This is just one more opportunity to let your voice be heard. Also, as part of the exhibit, there's an email address attached to the information guide. And you're encouraged, you know, share your thoughts about what you like about the exhibit, what you don't like about the exhibit, what you like about the downtown, what you don't like about it. Because if we don't share these thoughts and perspectives, surely we won't make the advances and the changes and the gains that we hope to.
As Joanne mentioned, there are many groups. In fact, there's dozens of groups who, this is what they wrestle with their whole existence. You know, what can we do? What do we need to get done? How do we do it? I think the missing piece is public input. So you can go to City Hall and write a letter, or you can go to City Hall and speak at a public hearing. But that's all it is, a hearing. You're heard. But there are rarely any informal, ongoing, long-term conversations. And I really think, you know, this town belongs to everybody. And so I really see this show as an opportunity for everybody to come and take a look. And it's not about agreeing or disagreeing, or it's not political. It's not about a certain point of view. It's just about having that conversation and knowing that in 50 and 100 years from now, they'll look back and go, I wonder why they did that. Or I wonder why they didn't do that. And so, you know, if we can help be part of that conversation that will be happening in 50 years from now, then it will have been worthwhile. And, you know, I have to say, Joanne and Vicky have worked for 3 years on this show, and they put a lot of time and love and attention into it. And, you know, I think as a community, we have to be mindful that there are people who work very hard. This town, I've said it before, I'll say it again, stuffed full of talent, people who want to make things happen. So we're lucky. And, you know, we're lucky to have the gallery. So we need to embrace this. And anyway, I'll be there on the 21st.
Opening night is Friday, November 1st at 7 p.m. at Sam and Arm Art Gallery. And the artist talk and coffee break happens on Thursday, November 21st between 2 and 4 p.m. And there will be plenty of opportunity for discussion on that day. The exhibition goes until November 29th. That's a Friday, and is generously sponsored by Shoeswap Tourism. And of course, there's many partners involved. The Museum and Heritage Society are involved, and lots of people from the Downtown Improvement Association have been involved. It's been a very big collaborative project. Thank you very much, Joanne, for starting this many years ago. And thank you, Vicky, for being the artist. And thanks, Louise, for helping direct the goals of this exhibition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
That was Joanne Mason, the former manager of the Downtown Improvement Association, local photographer Vicky Maurer, and Louise Wallace Richmond, director, Shoeswap District Arts Council, talking to us today about the Downtown in Focus exhibition. For more information on this and other upcoming arts events, check the website salmonarmartscenter.ca. If you click on the participate page, then you will find a listing by date of upcoming cultural events. You've been listening to Artscape on Voice of the Shoeswap, CKVS 93.7 FM. And for more information on the radio station, you can check out the website voiceoftheshoeswap.ca. That's all for Artscape this week. Tune in next time for your cultural infusion of local arts events.